Riff Raff Revolution!
Woo!
Yay!
Nice!
Did it.
How was it doing it yourselves for once?
Empowering.
Surprisingly easy.
Okay.
Right. I did forget that it was five times, and I was like, how long do we go?
Well,
forever?
Well, hey, this is Riff Raff Revolution. It's a podcast about real stories and real comedians. Really. I'm not the usual host. Why are you guys laughing already?
It's weird having it done back to us.
Now, welcome to our world, I guess. The point is, hey, I'm a local Mexican sweetbread, magician, comedian, musician. Man, how do you guys not get exhausted laying out all your credits?
I do.
I don't have that many credits.
That's true.
That's not true.
Like, I'm a local funny boy. Hey, I'm Angel Garcia. I've been a guest on Riff Raff Revolution before. I'm a special guest today because we have quite the conundrum today, because we are swapping roles. To give you some background here.
Dun, dun, dun. Boing.
To give you, this turned into morning radio really quickly. To give you guys some background real quick. It's like, the reason I'm hosting the show today is because I'm a huge fan of this podcast. When I first moved here, I was like, oh, somebody give me a recommendation for local podcasts. And they were like, Riff Raff Revolution. And I was like, all right, cool. And then I loved it and I became a guest. And that's why we're here, because we're here with, do I introduce you as Riff Raff? Do I introduce you by individual names?
We're Quick individuals. Pickle?
Yeah.
No, okay.
And Quick Pickle is more than just us.
Oh my God, okay.
It's a feeling.
Here's a better idea. How about you introduce yourselves?
My name is Perry.
I'm Laura.
And y'all are?
Now we have to lay out. I thought we were skipping that.
No.
What do? I don't know. I'm a writer, producer, theater teacher, actor sometimes, director sometimes. I'm whatever you want me to be.
Oh, no.
In theater.
I'm pretty solidly more of a comedy writer at this point.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been on stage in a really long time.
Right. Yeah, but no one worry about your name, though, right?
We already said our names.
You didn't say your name.
People should know who we are already.
That's true. It's the usual host of Riff Raff Revolution. It's Perry and Laura. But give them a hand. No one's in here. Okay, so do a flip. No. Well, thanks for having me, first of all.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being such a big fan.
Oh,
it means a lot.
It does.
No, I took very middle school girl notes on the podcast of questions to ask.
Actual heart in his notebook.
There is a heart in the notebook. Yeah, no, I love the show, and I'm very excited to ask you all the questions about all the things. But we'll start for the first question that you guys usually ask. It has changed wording throughout the years and times and days, but you should see.
Are we really that predictable?
A little bit. So. No, it's comforting.
Listen,
it's comforting.
I like structure and organization.
Who doesn't?
Anarchists? I'm gonna go with anarchists.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
So I guess you guys can answer it all at once, and we'll just make a jumbled mess for the producer. Or you guys could take turns. But how did you start in comedy?
Oh, my. Well, I started the first time maybe around 10 years ago when I started taking improv classes at Second City. Oh, my God. Are you taking a picture? Okay. I'm sorry. You distracted me.
What are you doing?
You distracted me.
What are you doing?
You took me out of my whatever.
For being the worst guests.
Yes. So I went through the beginning improv program at Second City. And then I started a new job, and I tried, doing the normal thing. And that didn't work out. So that was for several years. And then Alex Moffat got hired onto SNL, and I'd actually gone through the improv program with him a million years ago when we were both like baby improvisers. And I saw that, and it kind of put a fire under me to go back because I really missed it. So that's when I went back to the sketch program at Second City, where I met Perry,
hey.
My Woo! Co-host.
And I
Oh, by the way, just because they're getting interviewed doesn't mean you're not going to hear the quintessential awkward pauses that is
my God.
Perry and Laura
because
hosting
we're authentic.
Really?
We need time to process and think. Yeah. We're not like your fast-talking comedian types or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm
Don't do bits?
Very caffeinated all of a sudden. So I accidentally fell into comedy. I moved to Chicago to do theater and become an actor. And when I moved here, my roommate at the time, Susan, suggested that I intern at Second City because she was also interning at Second City because you get to get free classes. At the time, you got free classes. I think they've changed that. And you just got to, like, hang out and, like, meet a bunch of people that way. So I started interning, and then I took the improv for acting class or actors class and just kept taking classes because I got them for free and then started working at Second City. And that just became a very easy way to be involved in the, like, performance and arts community in Chicago. And I never thought I was funny, so I did not expect to go into comedy, but it just kind of happened. Yeah.
I think I'll just say this real quick. I think you have the quintessential thing that most comedians have, and that's that weird, like, idea of, like, oh, I'm not that funny, but also, like, I am that funny. Does that make sense? What I notice a lot about comedians in general is, like, if somebody gives you a compliment,
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh my God, that was so funny. You're like, oh, it was fine. Thank you, though. Right? But, like, obviously you think you're funny because why else would you do this? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess that's
like,
true.
Like, we all live, like, Pete Holmes says this a lot. It's like, we all have, like, this weird delusion that keeps us going. They're like, that you're like, because a lot of us are like self-doubting. We're like, oh, what is this even?
Imposter syndrome,
yeah. But at the same time, we're like in it.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like I getting compliments or like people who have said that they've liked shows that I've done. That keeps me going. Like, I like some of the work that I do because I enjoy it and like seeing people's reaction to it. I like it. But I don't think I would call myself a funny person. Is that sad? It's sad. That's sad.
I think that she's very funny.
I also
oh my God,
think,
stop. No.
Stop. Like, honestly, stop it. Like, what are you even doing? Oh, that's right. The voices are coming back, people.
So, oh boy.
You don't sound like that.
No. No, you don't remember our episode, clearly. Wait, but I kept doing bits and voices, and you guys never fed me lines, and it was the worst.
Look, just we've done so many episodes that...
We're professionals now.
So I think you mentioned this, but, like, where did you guys move from?
I moved to Chicago from Indianapolis, which is where I went to college.
Right.
And I'm originally from Michigan, but I've been living in Chicago for a while now.
Gotcha. Okay. So, like, but you both straight up started comedy in Chicago.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't move here for comedy.
Right. Is that strange for you guys? Just seeing, like, you guys moved to Chicago for completely different reasons. You just kind of ended up in comedy versus a lot of the people that you interview, which moved to Chicago for comedy. Like, how's that?
It is definitely weird. There was a moment, I don't really think about this that much anymore, but there was a moment when I first moved here that I did not realize how much of a comedy city Chicago is. Mm-hmm. I had another friend who did move to the city to do improv and comedy, and I knew, like, Second City was here. But honestly, I didn't know, like, the presence that Second City was until moving here. So that was kind of surprising at first. But once I realized it's a huge part of everything, like, even in the theater community, like, comedy is a big part of that, and there's so much crossover. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, it was kind of a happy accident that I ended up in Chicago.
That's it. You're like, it was a happy accident.
Yeah.
Seriously? Just because in my head, it's like you guys were just, like, in a coffee shop, and you pass by, like, think you're funny? Come to a class. And you're like, I think I will. Like, that's... I don't know, but it's just kind of friend of a friend. You just kind of ended up in it.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, were you like a, were y'all like jokester types as younger kids? Like, did you like comedy? Because they're straight up, I met some kids that are like, oh, what are you watching? I'm like, Comedy Central. And they're like, oh, that's weird. And I'm like, how is that weird? You don't enjoy to laugh and have a good time? So, like, were you guys that way at all or no?
I was not a comedy person.
So what kind of weirdo were you when you were? Because I'm convinced. I am convinced that every comedian was some kind of weirdo. It doesn't matter what kind of weirdo. You were, like, just someone who's,
we're both only children.
Oh, let's dive into that. Let's get into this.
Wait,
shit.
I have more reasons that I'm weird, though.
Okay, go ahead.
I was a musical theater nerd.
Oh my God! Yes, up. I think you and I connected on that once.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah. I was in Bye Bye Birdie. I was the bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I, speaking of Bye Bye Birdie, I was the kind of kid walking around the playground singing Bye Bye Birdie songs. And I had one person who also jumped on that bandwagon with me, but then, like, jumped off. And then I was still the one kid on the playground singing Bye Bye Birdie.
But in my head, you're not even singing, like, the main character songs. You're just, like, Ed Sullivan, like, all over the
I have a very specific memory of,
was it
like...
Kids?
Huh?
Was it kids?
Did you see yep.
Kids?
I was dressed up in the grandma. Yeah, exactly. Not the grandma. The
grandpa. The dad. Whatever. It was the dad who sang. I know, because I was the dad, right?
And song. The mama.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I was just weird. I just would sing all the time. And
no, that's awesome. No, yeah. That's not a bad thing.
No, it was not.
No, but it's just like, we're all outliers. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. There's like the gen pop, like the general population. And then there's like the weirdos who need some kind of attention. And they end up being comedians a lot of the time. Yep. Laura, are you going to tell us how you're not weird at all? Because you're making faces at both of us the whole time.
Laura just thinks we're weird. Mm-hmm. That's her role.
Which,
this.
She's not wrong.
I was more of a horse racing nerd when I was a kid.
Yes.
You were a horse girl?
Well... Define what a horse girl is, though.
You don't know what a horse girl is?
Not really.
It's like this this whole thing. It's like these girls who are super into horses, basically.
Was it the horse thing that you were attracted to? Or was it the racing and the
it
culture
was the
around
the racing
that?
And the culture and the history of that.
So, that's interesting. Urban Dictionary or Pop Buzz will tell us that if someone's life revolves around horses, they're a horse girl. Even if you're a boy, apparently. So, huh. I mean, technically you were, because your life at the time revolved around horses.
Well, it's a very specific subset, though, too. Like, I've never really been very good at riding horses.
Right, that's true. Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm not that coordinated, so...
Wait, let me get this straight. You were into horse racing, but not good at it.
Well, it's a sport. You right. can love basketball and not be great at playing basketball.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, so in my head, you're, like, in the stands, like, come on, biscuit. Let's get to the... Like, you're placing bets, basically.
I was too young back then to place bets.
I
want to
see Laura, 5-year-old Laura, like, I'm placing all my candy.
Five. I'm not my number 10 horse to place.
Well, okay. So, like, were you the only one, though? Or were there other people that were into that?
I wish.
No, I wish there was weirdos that were into the stuff I was into. I didn't find them until, like, high school. And by then... You know, my self-esteem was low, so like it didn't matter.
I was the only kid I knew who knew anything about the sport or cared.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still feel like that kid, but it's about, like, useless things. Like, like, hey, Angel, do you know how you do your taxes? Not really, but ask me about season 7 of Power Rangers. Oof, I got you. Like, does that make sense?
There's people out there.
Somewhere. Mostly in California. I looked it up. So
okay.
No, so you guys are obviously, you know, very involved in the arts now. So what are the influences that you see since you guys weren't, like, super huge into comedy? Like, because I'm guessing you came to a lot of this stuff later, right? Like, a lot of comedians are like, yeah, I remember watching Monty Python when I was a kid. Or, I mean, I remember being a kid and going, like, this Dave Chappelle guy is pretty funny. And now as an adult, I'm like, this Dave Chappelle guy is...
We were just talking about
that. Yeah, we were talking about that.
But you know what I'm saying? But, you know, like, or like, you know, I was like, this George Lopez guy is pretty great. And now I'm still like, yeah, he's pretty great.
I kind of, like, once I started doing comedy, I started realizing the, like, actual early influences that I had paid attention to. I don't know if they have actually influenced my work. Actually, I've, like, wanted to go back and revisit them so that I can, like, acknowledge what I was drawn to about them, but like I used to watch the Carol Burnett Show when I was little, and I Love Lucy. My parents always put me down in front of like classic TV shows, so like I mean, just like 50s and 60s sitcoms. I don't know if I write it all like this. Classic. There are things you should know. Who else?
Is it in black and white? Then no, you cannot watch it.
Dick Van Dyke Show.
There you go. That's one.
Black and white.
For me, it was The Muppets. Nice. Like the original Muppet Show that was in prime time. And The Kids in the Hall.
Right. Kids in the Hall.
And she got me on that.
Yeah. I made Perry watch Kids in the Hall.
And you, honestly, you're doing your job, I think.
Oh, Monty Python, too, for me, was a big thing growing up.
Growing up, Monty Python? Yeah. Okay. What was your favorite Monty Python thing?
Well, I know I probably watched the sketch show a little bit, but I didn't think about it. But we did watch The Holy Grail. Oh,
that's such a good
movie.
Which
is like a classic.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, yeah. Also,
flesh wound.
My boyfriend in high school and I were like really obsessed with Gabriel Iglesias.
Nice.
We went to a show of his.
What?
Yeah, we went to a show of his in South Bend where I grew up and met and took a picture with him. And like,
how was it?
It was very exciting, but it was I think it was exciting. He's great and I like his stuff, but I think it was exciting because like that was really the first person that I had like watched a bunch of videos of his and then like met him.
I've yet to meet like my Latino heroes, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And like it's crazy because when I moved up here to Chicago, I was like, I really want to perform with this one guy. His name's Shingo Bling. He's like a rapper comedian dude. And then he just started doing loops in Texas, and he came to Chicago once. And, like, a bunch of my friends were opening for him. And I'm like, God damn it. If I had stayed for just a little bit longer, I could have been there. But yeah, like, it's weird when you, like, see somebody on TV a lot and then you, like, meet them. Like, for me, I mean, if anybody wants to listen back to the episode, including me, it's fine. Season 2, towards the end.
Oh, you don't have the episode number memorized?
Oh, I do. I just don't want to be that guy. No, but, you know, for me, it's wrestlers. And it's really strange because, like, I'm very lucky to say that, like, I'm friends with some of them now. And, like, or just podcasters that I've listened to that, like, we're buds when we see each other. I'm like, hey, what's up? We've had dinner. And, like, it's like, what is my life sometimes? And, like, so like, outside of Gabriel Iglesias, have you, like, I guess just moving up, and this would go for you too, Laura, like just being like, man, that person's really funny. I wish I could hang out with them. And then you do, and you're like, whoa, this is cool.
Well, they always say not to meet your heroes.
Laura's like, I would rather not.
I'd rather adore them from afar.
Okay, cool. Jacob, edit this out then.
No, I'd
say okay, here we
well,
go.
Well, I don't know if this is exactly what you're asking, but...
her name is Laura.
her name is Laura, and like, she's super cool. No, I mean, yes. I got to see the original cast of Hamilton in
what?
New York.
Yes, that counts. What the hell are you talking about?
We, like, impulsively were like, we should wait at the stage door, right? We should wait at the stage door. Why would we not wait at the stage door? Like, might as well. So we did, and, like, we... Lin-Manuel Miranda happened to be really sick, and like he actually didn't perform the next night, so he like ran out of there. But we got pictures with like Christopher Jackson, is that his name? Yeah, oh my god. Leslie Odom Jr.
I wish there was a camera. I wanted to like open up Periscope or like Facebook Live just to get Laura's reaction to all our answers and questions, because
I'm just
they're giving
I
me
haven't life. I haven't seen Hamilton yet. Or even listen to the soundtrack, and I feel
it's
so
a really
bad
good soundtrack.
About this.
I've heard that it's really easy to win the lottery right now. A mom of a kid at work told me that.
Don't play with my emotions like that.
She said, I don't remember what, she said there's an app, and she won twice in like 2 weeks. You don't have to pay to enter.
Hey guys, welcome to the Hamilton podcast.
You should do it.
I might get regular tickets. One of my friends said she'd go with me for like a fourth time.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do that too. Then you know for sure that.
Yeah.
That's the only thing about entering the lot. I've wanted to. This is a very sidetrack.
This
is that
whole
okay?
conversation's
is that
a
okay,
giant
Daniel?
Sidetrack.
Okay. The only thing about entering the lottery, and this is what stresses me out about it, is you don't know when you're going to win. And like I said, I like to plan my life.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that if I was free and I won Hamilton tickets that I wouldn't be like, yes, I'm going. But, like, I plan every night.
You're the person who would call the playwright and be like, could you move it, like, 20 minutes?
I'm sorry, can you just hold the show for half an hour? I have to not. I don't know.
So
next question.
We never finished the question with you, Laura, but other influences for you or?
Oh, probably Kids in the Hall.
Right.
I still rewatch episodes of their show. Oh, I still rewatch stuck.
All the stuff that I loved as a kid, as a teenager. I still like IT Crowd. You ever seen IT Crowd? Mm.
I've heard of
it. It's on Netflix. It's fantastic. Definitely recommend everybody. Go watch it, T-Craft. Change your life. But go ahead. But you were saying, so like, you're just rewatching old stuff? Like, I guess at this point, is there any new stuff that's come out recently or relatively recently that you're like, oh my God, this is fantastic? So like for me, it's the new, that show Southside. It's so funny.
Oh.
We actually met those two guys.
Nice.
Oh, is that what they were doing?
Yes, it was those two guys who were sitting behind us at I.O. that one night.
That guy, oh, I shouldn't say it. Never mind. Yeah, that was an interesting, I still, like, don't really want to believe them. Is that what they said they were doing?
Yes.
Okay, I know that one guy was from GLOW.
He was in GLOW. Plays the
coach's husband. It was kind of a weird interaction. I'm sure they're great people. I feel terrible putting this out
there. And they do follow the podcast.
Oh my God, they do.
They do.
Cut this out.
Okay, cool. So we're just going to cut this out. You're going to tell me the story after this.
They like approached us, which was kind of weird. We were like, hi, yes, what do you want? And then they're like, we're doing this thing. Anyway.
And I didn't want to share my fries with them because I was feeling very hangry at the time.
Fair enough.
I'm sure you could relate.
What does that mean?
What did we go
What
see?
Does that mean?
How could Generation I Latinx, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Generation Latinx is great. I performed with them once and bombed terribly. It was great.
Happens to everyone.
Happens, right? Yeah. It was like my first week in Chicago, and I was like, oh, I'm not good at this. Yeah. Okay, so I guess now we get into the nitty-gritty stuff where I get to ask you super fun things. So what has... Yeah, I'm going to be like, so what's it like taking a life? No, I'm just kidding. No,
serious.
We're in season 3 of Riff Raff Revolution.
Yeah, we are.
How many years is that now?
3?
Yeah, correct.
Less than 3.
Less than 3, technically. Technically less than
3. We're on our third year.
Our third year. God. No, season 3 of Riff Raff. You guys have interviewed a lot of people. A lot of troops, a lot of groups. Like, I'll be honest, I wouldn't know about Club Asia if it wasn't for this podcast. And now I know some of them, and they're great and super good time. They let me do magic on their show every once in a while. Nice. Like it's really cool, and like these are things I've discovered.
They've really grown too.
Yeah,
oh my God. A lot of new members.
So good. Yeah. And but like the show specifically is just, you know, has helped me personally discover a lot of groups and stuff. And so I think that's really cool that like you guys went out of the way to like create a podcast and be like, hey, let's look at the people that I don't get paid attention to. So like, how is that been as an experience for y'all hosting the show?
Like bringing people on? For me, I mean, what's exciting about it is like learning about a bunch of different people, especially when we were a bunch of different comedians, and like, yeah, discovering groups, like you said, too. Because a lot of the first couple seasons, we really just put out the sign-up sheet out there. Mm-hmm. We had like a couple people in mind that we had seen around. But we kind of just put it out there and met so many different people just through that, which was exciting. And we were going to see new shows and things like that, too.
Yeah, and since I'm not on a Herald team and I don't perform regularly, it just made me feel more connected to the community, too.
Yeah, same. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you guys say that because you both have 1,000 projects going at a time.
Not 1,000.
Fine, 992, but still, like, it's a lot. No, so I mean, I'll just go through the list here. So,
oh my God,
no.
Well, actually, we'll start with the question I've been wanting to ask you for the longest, Laura. What is the story on these screenplays? Because your Twitter feed gives me life. Because it's always like, let's write the screenplay, and then you're like, psych, I just eat cookies, or like something like that.
Have you seen
cookies?
What can she say?
No, but it's...
I use Twitter as kind of a public diary on
that. No, I think that's most people. But shitty opinions and all.
And I use it to vent about writing. Mm-hmm. Because it's very frustrating, can be very solitary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's probably what you're following. I'm going to write today. I did not write today.
Right, but I relate to that all the time. Because, I mean, like, I have my podcast on the same network, right? And I released a handful of episodes that I'm really proud of. But at the same time, I've recorded a bunch, and I'm like, I'm going to edit it today. And sometimes I'm like, I didn't do anything today. I just laid home and slept. Like, you know, stuff like that. So, like, I relate to it so hard. But how many screenplays do you have going at the moment?
None, actually.
So you're finished with all of them?
I am trying to motivate myself to revise my last comedy pilot.
Gotcha.
I do have some notes from people.
Okay.
And
could you tell us a little bit about it or no?
A little bit.
Too much.
Oh, did y'all think I was just going to come in here and fluff y'all up? No. Your boy wants the hard-hitting questions answered.
I can give you the log line.
Sure.
It's called Watch Dogs, which I know is a very popular video game.
It's an all right.
I don't care. It's called Watch Dogs, and it's about a group of lawyers at an ACLU type nonprofit they're trying to fight the good fight, but they can't quite get their act together. So that's the pilot. That's the premise.
That's a really good premise.
And they're
I like that a lot.
A lot of sex jokes. A lot of sex jokes. Oh, not going to lie about that.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, and I'm...
Welcome to television.
Yeah, so that's that pilot.
That's like all of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, mostly.
I need to watch that.
Me too. What?
You guys haven't seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I've been saving it.
It's not going to end anytime soon, so you might as well.
No, I'm just saving it for when I'm feeling low.
Oh, you need a pick-me-up?
Yeah, so I'm like, everyone loves it. I'll probably love it.
No, it is a really fantastic show, and I definitely recommend it. But, okay.
A lot of people have said that to me.
Yeah. Okay, so if you could explain Quick Pickle to me, either one of you.
Did you have another pilot you wanted to talk about?
Are we avoiding the Quick Pickle conversation? Did something happen? Did the pickle spoil?
The pickle has been pickled.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding.
It grew mold.
There's not that much to it, but it's our sketch group. We started it with some of our friends from our writing program when we did writing 1 through 6 at Second City. But then it just kind of grew from there. It ended up just being like whatever show we wanted to do. We've only technically done 2 shows with it. But it was really just an excuse to keep writing and like producing stuff after the writing program.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty cool. So talk about a show that I've done that I really enjoyed doing. Get Schooled.
Yeah.
Talk to me about Get Schooled. It's such a cool show.
I love it.
It's funny. It's where I met a writing partner, and it's where I met my bandmate.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's where I met Georgia Gove.
I love Georgia.
Oh, Georgia's the best. Georgia, love you.
she just performed again.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm still waiting for my invite. And then...
Hey. You don't get invited. You have to approach me.
I need you to submit, really, because last time, if I remember correctly, I did the podcast. I was like, do you want to perform against Gordon? I'd be like, yeah, that'd be great. Just saying. The point is, Georgia's the best. We met at the show.
Do you want to perform in September?
No, I'm good. Oh, okay. No, I would love to. No, seriously, I would love to.
We'll talk.
I need the bookings. No, but no, yeah. And like, it was such a fun show, and it was super cool, and it was fun, and I got to like try new stuff that show that I still do now. Like, I straight up tried a lot of shit, and I was like, oh, this stuff kind of works. Okay, that's cool. And so,
that's neat.
Yeah. So, but like, how did that come about? Why Get Schooled?
So, yeah, that's the thing that I always feel like I need to clarify because it's very confusing now to people. Mm. So we are currently in our fourth season for that, which I cannot believe that I've been doing it that long. But it started because...
She was not bullshitting when she said producer.
I'm a producer.
Like, no. Honestly, like, I'm producing so hard.
That's what she is, though.
I guess so. Mm-hmm.
And you do it very well, may I add.
Thank you. I started it when I lived in my first apartment in Chicago, and it happened to be on School Street. And we had a really awesome...
I live off of School Street.
No way! Mm-hmm. What is your crossroad of School Street?
Oh. I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
Okay, I'll ask you later. So we had a really awesome backyard, and there was, like, a one-person apartment below us, but, like, nobody else was in that building, so, like... we just kind of took over the backyard, and she was really cool too, so it was fine. Nice. We had a house party, and we were just like, wouldn't it be cool if we just had our friends perform at
it? I'm convinced that's how most, like, small.
Yeah.
Because when I had a party, I was, like, leaving a long-time job that I made a bunch of friends in. I was like, here's my goodbye party. Also, I just broke up with, like, this girl. So, it's like, let's get fucked up party. And I was like, yep. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if I invited my friends? And that turned into, like, a series of shows that I did for, like, a year in Texas.
Yeah, that show ended up being so cool. And, like, we just, like, it started as just, like, a bunch of people also doing things that they don't usually perform. Mm-hmm. So then it was cool that it was like, oh, this audience will literally watch anything and be happy for you. So, like, come try new materials, right. Called try weird things. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it's continued in. Now it's in my friend's backyard. And that's also been a way that I've met so many different artists and, like, seen them all over the place, too. And now, since I've stopped doing comedy so much, there's other performers on there. So, like, we've had poetry, we've had puppetry, we've had clowning, we've had next month, there's going to be a burlesque dancer.
What?
I'm super excited. So I've, like, more done fancy. A couple of call-outs that are, like...
That's cool. Is he a magician?
If any, like, do more things, not just comedy. What did you say?
No, nothing.
Sorry, what?
I said, you guys need a magician.
Yes, we would love it.
Let me know.
But it's so fun. I mean,
30 minutes, a volunteer willing to be sawn in half.
Fantastic.
And
we'll do it.
Chips.
Great. Chips, yes. Yeah. This last one last weekend, we ended up performing under the, like, deck fire escape because it was raining, and it was the coolest, like, down to earth.
Hell yeah, dude.
Thing. So it's been so fun. And, like, my friend and I were talking last week, like, this is the most, like, DIY theater Chicago thing that could ever exist. It's literally on somebody's back porch and stairway, and it's a performance. And it's super cool.
I've seen some great shows.
Thanks.
Again. Yeah,
they're really great shows.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't do enough research here.
Awkward pause. Yeah.
So that's what you guys like to do a lot on your show. A lot of that. And then you, like, look at your notes for a second and you're like, oh.
That's because I don't always read all of the questions.
No. Well, yeah. I do
actually,
read all
no, the I prefer to stick to the questions. So that's
oh, that's
why.
What I'm trying to do so hard, but I'm like, I really want to ask more about Get Schooled.
You can.
No, I'm not. So... I'm just being a jerk here. No.
I want to talk more about it.
Okay. I honestly want to know more about these screenplays. No, I'm in all seriousness. Oh, talk to me about Sustainable Millennial.
Oh, God. Well, that's a new thing.
Also, Laura, you're going to tell me all about your stuff, too, in a second. Like, I just feel like I'm just looking up asking things about Perry. I'm so sorry.
No, these are very worthy projects.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
But I want to hear about all of your screenplays.
Yes.
It's going to be us at, like, I don't know. That's not an 80-year-old thing, like a 70-year-old thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sustainable Millennial, great. So, okay. So mm-hmm. It kind of started because I have wanted to, like, try freelance writing for a while. But everything that I've looked at, you need to somehow be published to, like, have something to apply with. And a lot of things I read online was suggested, like, starting a blog, and, like, your blog is a representation of your writing.
Also Twitter.
Also Twitter, but I'm awful at Twitter and I never use it. So, yeah. But then I was like, well, I already like care a lot about like environmental issues and like living sustainability and like trying to live more zero waste lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that I've personally done my own research on that I was like, I could probably write an article about this because I'm already like doing it in my life.
Right.
So I also wanted to use it as an excuse to like learn more about like policy change and like what actually are the big picture things here, right, more than just like I make my own toothpaste. Hooray. I don't really have to buy it anymore. I did for a little bit, but then I got scared that it wasn't working. But I use a better, like, less chemically one instead.
Okay, that's cool.
I think it was fine. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really go to the dentist in that time. No. I just mixed it and used it on myself. It's basically all you need is coconut oil. You could brush your teeth with coconut oil and it would be fine. But it had also had, like, baking soda in it, not powder soda.
Baking powder. No, that's that whitens teeth, but actually,
yeah,
that is proven to whiten teeth.
Yeah, I just got a little bit scared that I wasn't doing.
You could also do hydrogen peroxide.
That sounds like something you shouldn't be putting in your mouth.
Nope, but you can.
Okay. It's probably a normal toothpaste.
Yeah, actually, it is.
Great.
That's why I'm like, you can do that.
See, yeah, these are ways I like wanted to learn more about it for myself, and like, yeah, I've just had fun like writing and doing stuff and learning about it and posting and seeing that people are looking at it, which is exciting.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Laura.
Yes.
So this thing about lawyers. No, I'm just kidding. No. No, do actually tell me about Secret Lawyer.
I was wondering if you were going to ask me about that.
You're like, man, all this research. Yeah, your boy does his research. Tell me all about Secret Lawyer.
Oh, that's my IO Comedy Network team.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Woo.
So I'm one of the writers on that. It's really fun. It's my first time writing for a film, I guess, which is really different from stage. So I'm still transitioning to writing more visually.
Right.
That's really fun. That's about it.
Okay. All right.
She's made some cool ones.
I mean, it is technically secret, so I guess that's why we can't get many details.
You should talk about the last video that they just published of yours.
Yeah. Because
that was really good.
It was really good. It was, when was this? Hang on. Yeah, I have my phone ready to go.
Did you Facebook
It was in
stalker?
August, so it was like a week ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell us about it a little bit? Or plug it, at least.
Well, what do you want to know about it, exactly?
Well, I mean, like, so what's the process you go through when you write something? Because, so, like, what I find interesting is that you have two comedians that aren't necessarily active, like, on stage and stuff, but you guys are working in the background really hard. Like, you're a producer that's killing it, who somehow still does a Save the Earth blog. Right, you're running a great show. You're, and I'm going to ask you about Kill the Clocks here in a second.
Okay.
But Laura, you're writing screenplays, you're writing pilots, and now you're also writing Secret Lawyer. Like, what is that process like when you guys were on stage versus where you are now? Like, what is the big differences there? We'll start with Laura.
Are you asking the difference between Secret Lawyer versus Quick Pickle?
Kind of. Like, what's it like being more of the background part of the machine versus the in front of a crowd part of the machine?
I don't think the writing process is any different, really, because when I was writing a show for Quick Pickle, I wasn't necessarily writing parts for myself.
Right.
I think I was writing more, maybe with a point of view in mind, more satirically for our stage shows versus for Secret Lawyer, I just try writing something as stupid and funny as possible.
Right.
And there's a place for both, right? And if you're asking about my creative process,
that is what I'm asking.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Aren't we all?
Because sometimes I can sit down with a notebook and tell myself, I'm going to come up with 5 ideas for a sketch right now. Mm-hmm. And nothing will happen. Like, nothing will happen. It's basically in the shower or taking a walk or when I'm doing something mindless where something will pop up. I have to kind of get into that relaxed mode where I'm not even thinking about anything.
It's always when you're, like, the most relaxed, right? I hate it sometimes because I will come up with, like, the funniest premise or punchline right as I'm about to go to sleep. I'm like, oh, I gotta write that down. But I'm, like, about to go to sleep.
You gotta keep a notebook by your bed.
I do.
You've done that.
I do. what about you, Perry?
What's it like being...
Yeah, just, like, creative preferences, like, just being in front versus the back.
I don't know. For me,
That's been the show, everybody. I'm just
I don't know. Next question. No. I feel like I started doing more behind-the-scenes stuff because I got tired of, like, waiting around for being cast. Mm-hmm. And, for me, it's...
Make your own thing, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And Chicago is, like, the best place to do that.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah, and I feel like comedy is like that anyway, and I think that's why I kept doing comedy, is, like, it's so... Everybody does their own thing, and it's about all the whole thing that you're doing. Like, it's about the writing that you do, your performance of it, and then, like, also... if you're building the show, how you build it. So to me, it feels kind of all the same. Like, I'm happy to present a show that I've just directed or that I've just written or that I've produced, because that is satisfying to me, because I feel like I'm still the artist in, like, doing it that way. The show I feel like you're about to ask me about, something that I really something I like that people kind of kept saying to us is, like, they said, I really like how you've curated the show, and I want to start using that as a term. Word. Isn't it a great word?
This is gonna make it to the new intro. Hi, I'm Perry. I'm a producer, comedian, writer,
curator.
For here in Chicago. Awkward pause. I'm Laura.
Stop it.
Stop.
Get out. Okay. We'll take it from here. No.
Bye-bye
but
now.
No, I really like that idea of, like, you're curating something. Like, you have complete control over, like, how you're forming it.
It's your vision.
Yeah, and it's your vision, and you're putting it out there. So, although there are times that I go through that I miss, like, performing and, like, being the face on stage, I feel, like, the same satisfaction of, like, molding something to put on stage. I feel like you could say curated for, like, Riff Raff Revolution, because we've, like, picked our guests. We've, like, kind of guided the conversation in the way that we wanted.
How's it going so far, I guess, would be the next question.
What?
I know, because you guys are so used to, like, you guys taking control, and, like, now that the... roles have flipped. How's it been?
I feel incredibly vulnerable.
I feel, like, really special that, like, you want to know all these things about us.
I'm even more impressed with us than I was before.
Oh, my gosh.
I honestly love, like, talking art with people, because it makes it, like... It makes me remember why I love.
That's why I'm such a big fan of the show, because I also love talking about, like, the process and the art part. Like, when you're talking about, like, oh, I need to be, like, relaxed and it'll happen, like, randomly, I'm like, yeah, I know exactly what you feel like. Like, what happened? So, you know, since the last we spoke, like, I started a band. And what's really cool is that, like, when I'm listening to, like, a comedy podcast, I'll come up with, like, oh, this would be a good melody, or this is a good riff. Mm-hmm. And I'll just write it down or record it real fast. But when I'm hearing music, instead of, like, oh, what if we sounded like this, I go... If dogs had wings, like, I just come up with, like, a dumb premise. Like, it's so weird how, like, that's flip-flop for me. And I find it super interesting, like, how just people think. Because I'm like, I must be weird for thinking this way, right? And there's people that are like, actually, I can only write a joke if the moon is in 3 crescents or whatever. You know, just
that person is weird.
Yeah. Looking at you, Perry. I'm just kidding.
And it's me. No.
No. Last 2 questions before we get to the really, really cool part. I guess probably the last question. You guys have been doing this for a while. You guys are producing stuff, writing stuff. Busy, 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 busy. How do you balance it? There's a question you ask every guest, by the way. You go, how do you balance this? I listen to, like, literally, like, if I still drank, I could play, like, a shot game of, like, how many times you guys say, how do you...
Oh, no.
You do shots of orange juice.
Should we stop asking that?
No, it's a good question. It is a good question.
We ask it because, well, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like I'm still trying to figure that out. And so, like, right. I always want to know how people approach that. Because right. I think it's always a, you got to discover it kind of on your own. But, like, I don't know. It's I want to hear from taught. Other people. Yeah.
It's a thing you figure out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm still struggling with that. especially since, you know, Secret Lawyer was starting the podcast up again. It's like, how do I balance everything? But I'm just trying to be easier on myself now.
Right.
Like in July, I was so burnt out. I'm not going to lie about that. I just finished the first draft of that pilot I mentioned, and I was so tired mentally and physically. I don't think I did much writing of anything in July. Started feeling a bit better in August, did a little bit of writing. I'm easing my way back into it. You probably noticed from my Twitter feed. And yeah, I'm just like, I try to have 3 days a week where I will sit down and try to write something. And even if I'm not getting as much done, then I can at least tell myself I sat down for 20 minutes that day.
Like, take the wins where you can get them.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm.
Exactly.
So, it's funny because I do have a list in my head of, like, the stereotypical riff-raff questions.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it goes, how'd you get started into comedy? It's always influences. Oh, no. If you ask about, like, childhood or, like, you know, racial effects of comedy and stuff on psyches... for lack of a better term. Well, no, you go like, what was your experience like as a black person, as a Latino, a Latinx person, as a Asian person? You guys always ask that, which is a good question to ask. I guess, you know, and it's funny.
We were literally, before you got here, we were just trying to figure out, like, how can we stop asking the same questions over and over again?
No, well, it's like, well, like, here's the thing, though. They're good questions to ask.
Yeah, I want to know them thing, about everybody.
Yeah, and it's great, and I personally love it. I like structure. I guess the next question is, like, because you always ask the balance question, which I think is funny. But I guess this next question you always ask is, like, what's the next step? What do you want to do from here?
God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, what are you, or not, we cannot do that.
I've been thinking about this a lot last week.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you have to keep moving forward and you have to keep challenging yourself.
Right, exactly.
And, like, I've written 2 pilots this year already.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't say I have done nothing with right. my time, but right. at the same time, I'm trying to figure out what strategy to use to try to get the scripts read by people.
Yeah, right.
And that's really frustrating to me because I'm terrible at networking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm terrible at talking to people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, major introvert right here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Perry's raising
her
hand.
Oh, that was a bad
It's podcast. Not a radio podcast.
Yes. So,
she actually just wanted you to smell her natural deodorant. That's... I
don't know. I do. It's Tom's.
Oh, I started using Tom's as well. It's good.
No,
when somebody told me, like, you know, there's aluminum deodorant, I was like, no, there isn't. There and is. I was like, oh my God, there is.
I also used to make my own deodorant. Please keep going, Laura.
I'm learning so much about you.
It was really greasy. So I stopped. Well, like, okay. I don't want to go.
No. Let Laura
finish. What was I saying?
I'm sorry.
You were saying about.
It's hard networking. You can't
it's hard networking.
Yes. Yeah. So right now, I'm trying to, besides trying to figure out how to balance my projects, I'm trying to figure out how to work in networking a little bit more, like reaching out to people and making myself known because no one knows me except maybe our loyal listeners.
You've got Twitter followers who are like, oh, Laura. She was interviewed by a Twitter person. Person that you, how did you meet her?
Oh, that was so random.
Yeah, that was great because you're famous.
But if someone asks you to, if they can interview you.
You say yes.
You always say yes.
Yes.
You always say yes.
What am I trying to say? Like Angel here.
Yes, like Angel.
Angel asked if he could interview us and here we are.
Well, yeah, I'm a fan. What do you want from me? But, okay, so, Perry, your turn.
Aside do from I have to go?
Making greasy deodorant. You don't. Here's the thing. You don't. But I think it's something people would like to know.
Okay.
But, you know, well, at the end of the day, it's your choice. Excuse me. That was a cough.
Was it actually? Or
it
was. It a sarcastic cough?
No, it was a cough.
So, the problem is I don't know. the last show.
I love the term. I don't know.
The last show that I did was super inspiring for me because I feel like it's a medium that I really want to pursue.
Which is?
So the group was a group that I had met taking a neo-futurist class. And
a neo-futurist class.
If you don't know. So the Neo-Futurist Theater, you should go see their show Infinite Wrench. But they have a class that's called Writing the Two-Minute Play. And their whole deal is that everything that they do is honest storytelling. But there's always some way that it's interpreted on stage to make it more theatrical. And there's usually some sort of a physical challenge in it or some sort of a whatever challenge to, like, complete a task or something. A lot of my classmates and I were really inspired by the class. And so we did a show that was like essentially like honest storytelling and like connecting the audience with the piece and all of that. So I really like that that style. And a lot of the sketch comedy that I write is like just like real events that have happened to me anyway. So I love finding the comedy and like things like that. So I don't know. I might continue. And the great thing about that is like we all wrote it together and we all performed it as well. So that just like combines my two favorite things. And we all collaborated on it. So like we were all the directors essentially, which is another one of my interests. So like it was all in one. So we're probably going to do another show. So that's down in the works. I keep telling people about this so that hopefully I'll just do it. But, a friend of mine who lives in New York works with a climate change theater. It's called Climate Change Theater Action. And, they, every 2 years they do a festival in which they've, commissioned a series of short plays to be written by playwrights all over the world on the subject of climate change. And then they get collaborators, I think, all over the world, although they focus on getting at least one person in every state of the United States to produce shows at the same time. So this year it's October through December. And I did a show. My first directing experience was 2 years ago when I did their thing. So I need to put together another show this year, although it's coming up. But I might do it in December. Who knows? But so that'll be eventually. I want to direct more.
That's inspiring
so.
AF.
Yeah, it's just like I mean, I'm at a point where I'm like, here are all my interests. Perry, do something in that.
Right. No, I get that.
So I'm sure that'll be something. That's
well, that was awesome. You know, look at you taking the role of the interviewee very well.
I feel like I talked a lot.
I'm not used to talking this much.
Yeah, that's saying a lot, considering you didn't talk a whole lot.
You did.
No, you did.
She did. I'm just teasing. And also, just look, I got through all my questions, too. This is awesome.
Yay.
I guess it's time. It is the moment of truth.
Oh, no.
It's time for the improv.
You know how long it's been since I've improvised?
Grumble. Let me tell you the last time I improvised when I was here.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
we actually both don't like improvising. Is that true still of you? Do you like improvising?
I like it in theory.
In theory,
same.
Well, this is your show, so I'm just following your structure.
Yeah, I know, and we still make ourselves.
If
do
you
it.
Could please tell me a way how did you guys phrase this? Hang on. We're gonna do a small improv sketch, and you are to satirize some way that you have felt either marginalized or misunderstood in either comedy or life.
You worded that much better than we usually do. So way to go.
I'm quite aware. Because I was like, oh, they're a mess.
Marginalized the right term that we want to use?
Do you want to hear my honest critique of the podcast as it's grown?
No.
Here we go. It's great. First of all, it is great.
But this is coming from our number one fan. Do you realize how this makes us feel?
No, season one, it was like, oh, their sweet little babies are getting their stuff together. End of season one, season two. Solid. You questioned yourselves a little bit each every other time, and you kept trying to figure out the right way to word this. I think it was the episode with, hang on, I just had it up. With season two, episode five, with Claudia, that you guys were like, oh, marginalized, that's a good word. And then you guys just kind of, like, you kind of hear the wheels turning, and you're like, marginalized. And you guys started saying that a little bit more often. That's just things I've noticed. Is that weird? It's a little weird.
Yeah.
So the point. Okay. All right. Thank you. I'm sorry. Look, I just.
The fact that we don't edit those things out shows how authentic and committed we really are.
Yep. Amen.
Real stories. Really.
Oh my God.
No. And so.
Yeah.
No, I'll say this. Like, I do enjoy the show, and I just wanted to give. I want to give it the due justice the show deserves. So that's why I just went nuts with the research. Okay. All right, I'm sorry that I care so much.
Yeah.
No. How dare you. Improv time, y'all. Here we go.
So.
This is normally the part where we, like, pause the recording and we're like, all right, what are we going to do? And then we get into it.
God, you're.
It's creepy. How is that creepy?
You know us too well.
What? I was a fan when I came, and then I paid attention.
Okay.
When we were recording, I'm like, oh, so this is what they do.
Yeah, you paid.
And then I've just talked to Jacob a whole lot. And I was like, is this what happens often? And they're like, yeah. He's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, cool.
Oh, Jake's in on it.
Yeah.
You had a few ideas.
Yeah.
I was ready to not come with any ideas.
So episode 3 of season 2 and on, people start bringing in notes. And you guys were like, you know, people are bringing in notes.
Yeah. That's true.
Claudia brought cupcakes.
She did. Where are our cupcakes?
You know what I brought?
We were supposed to bring cupcakes.
This guy.
So all right.
And I guess creepiness, apparently. So.
Also creepiness.
Wow. Gee, thanks, y'all.
What were your two things that you said earlier?
Okay, these are really broad ideas.
Go ahead.
Very broad.
How broad?
I don't have specific characters in mind or anything.
Oh boy.
I was just thinking that I always get really annoyed because, like, I'm an introvert.
About 57 minutes in. That's for the editor here. Sorry, that's when we started discussing the improv thing. Go ahead.
Listen,
sorry.
We never make notes like that. We just make ourselves find the moments.
Oh, boy.
You would have known that if you were a super fan.
Okay. So I feel that, like, introverts are really misunderstood.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And people think that we're antisocial or rude.
Yes.
Yep.
And we're really not. Yes. We're just different.
True.
Yeah, very true. We've both read books about this.
We have.
Oh, my. Are you guys reading self-help books?
It's not self-help.
I only like nonfiction books.
Oh, yeah. You told me that. And I was like, that's weird. Yeah, I guess you don't have an imagination. I'm just kidding.
I don't need to work on my imagination.
Fair enough. I love fiction books because I'm like, I don't think I get my brain enough.
I read both.
There you go. You're better than all of us. Great.
I like to read about people's research. Okay.
Okay. Also, you know.
Is this the scene?
When people, like, find out I'm the only child, they're always like, oh, you don't seem like an only child. I'm like, well, what do you think?
Well, here. How about this? How about instead of the actual improv scene, we talk about favorite moments you've had, like, during Riff Raff. And, like, some fun scenes you guys did, maybe. I don't know.
That's not the riffraff structure.
It kind of feels like cheating.
Okay.
Yeah. It's off the hook.
Right?
Fine.
Oh, and my third idea was, like, there's such a big stereotype about how creative people have to be messed
miserable.
Up. Yeah. Miserable and messed up and mentally, emotionally.
Right.
ill, and you know.
You just kind of describe. You basically, you just in all three examples, you described an emo kid. Like that's basically all you just did.
I feel like the like introvertedness and quiet. Oh my God! What if we were both very quiet people and just angel talked for the whole season? No, and it's just like you trying to like, figure out why we're being so quiet.
This is the worst.
I think that's a good idea. So like we're, what are we?
I didn't agree to this.
What if we're
like, I think this is a good idea.
Uh oh. Why did that
move the mouse? Quickly. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Maybe we're two like fast food workers, and you're like trying to order from us. No, that's stupid.
No. What if you worked at?
We're like, ordering it from you.
Oh, I like this one. You're ordering from me, and I'm like just constantly losing. Like, what do you want? It's just like, or something. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of. Well, there's just been so many situations where I've been in, where I've known people and like they've judged me for being a quiet person and they like think different things about me. So I feel like we should know each other well enough, but you assume things about us because we're quiet.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense.
Where
should we be though?
You choose that.
Oh.
We're going to need a suggestion. We're going to need a suggestion of the audience.
Yeah, here. We really do.
We could be at a party.
Oh, what if we went out to eat and I'm just ordering for y'all? No.
What if you're doing magic?
Oh, I just do this to...
For us. I know, but that's something you know about that you can bring to this.
Right.
You're trying to do magic for us and we're not really responding and you think that that means that we don't like you.
Oh.
All right. Let's not plan anymore. That's what improv is, right?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Has the show started?
I'm working.
I thought this was supposed to be magic.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the magic show. To begin, I will need two volunteers to come to the stage. You there.
Oh, God. We're being chosen.
Would you like to come on stage?
Just, like, stay very still and he won't notice.
Okay.
You there, the two of you, standing very still, hoping I wouldn't notice.
I mean, we have to do it. Let's just do it.
Okay. Come to the stage, please. Everyone give them a hand. And what is your name?
Carol.
Carol. And yours?
Alexis.
Alexis. Welcome. Do you believe in the dark arts?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, then.
Maybe.
We'll start with a card trick.
You wanted to say yes, right?
Pick a card. Any card.
This one.
What card is it?
The King of Hearts.
The King of Hearts, everyone. Okay. Could you please sign this? Thank you. As you can see, and I'm going to lose it here in the middle of the deck. Yes, of course. Give it a couple of shuffles here. Oh, shit.
I'm feeling uncomfortable. People are looking at us.
Would you be impressed if I made your card jump to the top?
Yeah, I would.
Huzzah! It's your card.
Mm-hmm. Very good, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, Alexis, have you ever felt... like you've had a bad day and you've felt like you've been torn in two?
Literally? Torn in two?
Well, more like cut. Welcome. You're going to be sewn in half. Please take a seat or lay down in this bed that totally isn't gimmicked or anything.
Look, Alexis, you don't have to do this.
Yes, she does. totally does. Everyone's watching.
Everyone's watching, though.
That's why you probably shouldn't do it.
Tell my parents I love them if this doesn't work out.
Okay, you're not going to die. You'll be fine. Get over here. Please pay attention to my assistant. Okay, Alexis. All right, you can get in here. Don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you. You're just going to see? It's gimmick. See?
Can I go sit down?
No. Oh. No. You have to stay. You're going to help me saw her in half. It's going to be great.
I'm going to.
Yeah. You can hold the other. Like, just work with me here, okay? I'm just trying. Like, this is all I have, okay?
We're participating. I don't know what more you want from us.
Why are you guys being weird up here?
We're not being weird.
Most people enjoy magic shows, and they love to be part of it.
I'm having fun. I think this is cool.
You're having fun.
Yeah.
You're having fun.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Really? Because most people are like, oh my God, that is my card. Oh my God, you're so amazing. And oh, is this? But you're just like, oh.
Did we not do that? I thought we.
No.
I usually like to watch more than participate. Oh my God. You know,
I'm okay with this participating.
Is okay, too. Okay, look, the point. Okay, Alexis, just go in here. Yep. Okay, see, there's a trap door. See, your legs go through here. You're totally fine.
Look at the magic.
Yes, the magic, everyone. Okay, Alexis, you okay? You in there? You're fine?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's really cool, everybody.
Okay, so when we saw in half, don't freak out because then people think it's murder.
She's not going to freak out.
Well, obviously, a lot of people like to ham it up and they're like, oh my God, he killed me. And then the cops show up and it's
so
the
whole thing. So do you want her to do that or not to do that?
Just be like, wow, oh my God, what a time to be alive.
That doesn't feel very
authentic. Expectations are really unclear here and I'm not really sure.
Okay, you know what?
Look at the magic.
The magic. Okay, you know what? Just do whatever comes to you. All right?
I'll just lie here.
Okay, that's fine. Whatever. Okay.
All right. That's for the best.
Mm. All right, what was your name again?
Carol.
Steve.
You forgot her name.
Carol, that's right.
Steve?
Claire, here. No, I'm talking to my guy on the... Oh. Steve, get over here. Yeah, what's up? All right, give me that saw. All right, here. All right, Carol, here you go.
All right.
All right, now we're going to saw Alexis. Alexis?
Again, I'm going to need you to tell me exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
Literally just saw your friend in half.
Do I need to start screaming?
No, I just said not to scream. I said, just come with me. Here we go. Oh, she split in half, everyone.
Magic.
All
right, can we sit down now?
No, you can't. We did it. No, guys, we're arguing on stage. You can't be like, magic, everyone.
It's
what are you
doing? Magic.
We have to put her back together, technically.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go. All right, and we're just going to. And now we're going to put her back together. All right, here we go. Just clip. Oh, crap. It's not clasping properly. Shit. Alex, are you okay? You good in there?
Help.
No, shut up. No, don't say that. No. Shh. Everything's cool. Magic, everyone. Here, Claire. Here's the deck of cards.
It's Carol. Tell me what to do.
Claire,
call
please.
911.
No, you're fine.
Wait, I can do the trick that you did earlier. Okay, here, just give it to me.
Yep. That's yours.
Hey, can you pick a card? All right.
Okay,
Thank you.
Okay. Alexis, all right.
What's the card?
Be calm. I'm going to open it. All right, on three.
You're right. Ready? It is the two of
clubs. One, two,
okay.
Three.
Notice how I'm going to put it
right
in the top or in the middle.
Come on. You're just being really quiet.
Not the top, in the middle.
Just come on up.
And you're back. And then I shuffle the cards.
She's back, everyone.
Oh, I wasn't done with my trick yet.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Yay!
Wait.
It's okay.
You should let her have her moment.
No,
it's fine.
No, wait.
It's all right. It's passed.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. Are Alexa and Claire.
It's Carol.
And Alexis.
Okay, let's go home.
Okay.
God.
We did it. Alexis.
We did it.
We did it tonight.
Yeah.
We participated.
We can go home now.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. Thank you.
We met a magician.
Hey, can my two volunteers from earlier come back up here and take a bow, everyone? Take a bow.
No, we left.
Nope, you guys are leaving. Oh, where are you going? No, we got. Oh, okay.
I realized like early on in that like it's really hard to put quiet people on a podcast.
Yeah, in my head I was like, work with me here, please. Like I felt like that magician, like, come on, help me.
Yeah.
No, that was fun though.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was good. It was a good time.
Those are characters I would love to play in front of an audience.
Oh my God. Dude, let's write a sketch where I'm a magician and I'm trying to get you guys to participate and you just won't.
I think the key was, and I if we had written this, I probably would have brought this out more. It was that, like, we were trying to, but, like, we weren't giving it enough.
Yeah, you weren't, like, trying hard enough. I was like, all right, come on, guys. And you're like, we're trying. I'm like, yeah, no, you're not.
We're doing it. We're just not. Yeah.
Anyway. This has been a wonderful time.
Yay.
Thank you so much for having me. This has
yeah,
been...
thanks for interviewing us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where can people find you?
Oh, no. I don't know any of my handles. I don't know why I looked at my watch to do that.
If you looked at your arm handle.
It's Huntary8 on Twitter.
Perfect. I've not tweeted in a while.
Okay.
You don't need to.
Nope. I'm gonna. It's happening now.
I think I'm Perry4 on Instagram.
I think so.
P-E-R-I... which confuses people, which I like. Sustainable Millennial, most places. Riff Raff Revolution. Comedy sometimes.
But we're R underscore.
Oh, yeah. R underscore revolution
on Twitter.
Yes. And I think maybe on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm an awful networker and marketer. This self-promoter is what I meant to say. What are your...
Here we go. Laura,
handles.
You're the pro. Let's
I am
this.
Not on Instagram.
It's probably best.
That's okay.
Yeah. I am on Facebook, but very rarely.
All right.
And I am on Twitter at La Leland. So...
Do you follow her on Twitter?
Oh, boy.
And follow Secret Lawyer on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
Make sure you subscribe to Riff Raff Revolution, people.
Woo!
Yeah, they're very exhausted to be, I can tell. All right.
Just been in public too long today.
I know.
I completely understand. All righty, y'all. Oh, wait, how do you guys usually close the show?
Bye!
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 This has been a Neighbory Inc. podcast. Go to neighboryinc.com for more details. Follow Riff Raff Revolution on social media at r_r_revolution because they couldn't get a more convenient handle. This episode was edited by Jacob Duffy Halbleib and Dominic Gwanzen. This episode was produced by Perry Hunt and Laura Leland.
Bye!
Bye!
The fuck is a knave?
It's over.